Welcome to the Rabbi Yosef Kalter Bitocha message, sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. David and Orly Shimai, the Ilui Nishmas of Yehu Chaim, Ben Horav Chaim Yitzchok, and Oren Ben Moshe, and Horav Yosef Chaim Ben Meir. And it should be a schus for Refuah Shleima for Gittel Bas Tetel. Having just gone through a extensive and so thoroughly covered and talked about election campaign, and not just an election campaign, but an election campaign underscored as the campaign for the most powerful position and maybe the most powerful person in the civilized world. It rings with a negative tinge to us, Ma'aminim b'nei Ma'aminim, the people who believe in and are committed to and recognize the grandeur and the godless and the all-powerful equifus of Hashem Yisbarach. What I mean is that we're influenced when we hear talk about power, when we see an Oval Office, the seat of the power, when we hear people talking about that which they will do when they achieve this most powerful position in the world. And there's no question about it that hearing and seeing these things have an impact on everyone. Amalek's attack on Klal Yisrael, Rashi tells us, made it possible for others to attack after them. Even though it was pointed out by Rav Fenech Leibowitz, the Tzadik Gebrocha, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, that Amalek was destroyed. Amalek lost the battle. The lesson was very clear: don't start up with Klal Yisrael. But the crime doesn't pay lesson doesn't resonate as well as the fact we saw someone attack Klal Yisrael, and that made it easier for others to do the same, despite the fact that they saw that the attacker did not succeed and was decimated. So we know that what surrounds us, what we see, has a very powerful impact on us. And I think there's a great danger to our midas habitochim the more that we focus on the power of man. Man is powerful. Man can be very powerful. Man can sit in the seat of power. Man can literally achieve the status of the most powerful person of the world, a person who can have billions of dollars but now has even more power because he will sit in the Oval Office. And it looks like that's true. That seems to be the way the world appears. That's apparent. But the reality is, it doesn't even begin. First of all, Chazal does slaves, sorim umalochim b'yad Hashem. It sounds like not only is Hashem in control of everything, the whole world, everything that happens, a mikra, the fun of, there's no accidents in his world. And Einoid Mavadoi, there are no other kriyas in this world other than Hashem. But lev sorim malochim, the hearts of the sorim malochim will also be out of Hashem, which I assume means that even the things they think to do, just their decisions, their intentions, their desires, are also orchestrated by Hashem specifically because they are puppets, if you will, forgive me, in the divine hashgocha of taking care of and dealing with everything in the world and everything in society. And we have to counter this for ourselves. You don't have to belittle the office or belittle the stature of these people, and we shouldn't. And society definitely needs to know that there is an authority because Chazal say, "Every mispal b'shlemish al malchus, pray for the peace and the success of the kingdom. Shiel Mole Moro Ish Esrayeu Chaim Loi. If not for fear of the Malchus, if there wouldn't be an established authority, then people would just devour each other alive. So definitely society needs it. But we, Ma'aminim B'nai Ma'aminim, have to focus a little deeper and have to know who is truly in control and not allow the apparent, the bravado, the talk, the pictures, the discussion, the conversation that goes on throughout the world, not let that affect us in the depths of our heart, in the depths of our emunah. And there's a very interesting medrash, which I think can address this issue, and not only address it, but gives us a daily opportunity to strengthen ourselves in this area. The Medrash, the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, says that David HaMelech had 10 languages of praise of Hashem. 10 languages in the Sefer Tehillim. Lamanat Seach, and Mizmor, and Shir, and on and on, a whole list. And then the last one he says is Halleluko. He says Halleluko is the most significant of all of them. Why? The Medrash says, because it has the praise, hallelujah, praise, and Ko Hashem, the name of Hashem, in the same word. All the other praises are a few words. Hallelujah Es Hashem. So the praise, hallelujah, and then this separate word is Hashem, hallelujah Es Hashem, hallelujah Ko. What's the significance of this all in one word? Now, there may be mystical significance, I'm sure there is. But on a very poshita level, I think the significance is as follows. We tend to separate. We have a tendency to separate the appreciation for what happens and Hashem. We don't want to be, at least part of us doesn't want to be, so beholden. So yes, we're so thankful. It's so wonderful. The events that took place are so praiseworthy. But we'd like to make a little bit of a tzedek, a little bit of a split between the appreciation of the event and the attribution of that appreciation solely to Hashem. Because the more we attribute it to Hashem, the more bound we are, the more beholden we are, the more obligated we are, the more burdened we are, the more pressured we are. And sometimes we tend to avoid these feelings. And the way we do it is, oh, yes, I have this relationship with Hashem, but there are other things too. Let's separate the two. I certainly turn to Hashem to help me. But, you know, in business, I have my business acumen. I have my connections, I have my brains, I have my MBA from Harvard. I have a lot going for me. And therefore, you know, he's also part of the formula, but let's not get carried away. The famous story of the guy looking for a parking space in Manhattan a mere few minutes before his most important appointment of his business career, so much on the line, and he's begging Hashem, please help me, help me, help me, help me find the space. And then all of a sudden, a little bit ahead of him, he spots the space, and he raises his hand and he says, never mind, Hashem, I have the situation totally under control. We'd much rather feel that we have the situation under control rather than be beholden to Hashem and know that He is the one who makes it happen. He does it. He moves it. He pushes it and He delivers it. And therefore, the greatest praise, the most efficient praise to influence us, because that's all the praises are. We know very well Hashem doesn't need our praise. Praising Hashem, the greatest of praise, according to the maximum of our understanding, might be equivalent to welcoming the president into a 2x4 room and saying, welcome, president of this little closet. I'm the president of the United States of America. I'm the queen of England, and you welcome me as the ruler or the monarch or the president of this little closet to insult. Anything we can understand of Hashem's praises is really insulting because it's so myopic compared. It's so small compared to what he really is and who he really is and what the praise in reality should be. But he lets us do it because we benefit. It strengthens us. It gives us a greater concept of who Hashem is, and we can find greater strength to put our trust in him. But we do tend in these praises to try to diffuse it a little bit, to try to cloud it a little bit, not to become overwhelmingly beholden to him. We also want to have part of the credit to ourselves. It's me, it's my own strength, it's my own power, and it's my own prowess, and we want this too. So there is a tendency, there is almost a human need to separate Hashem a little bit out of the praise for everything that happens. And therefore, when we say Hallelujah, there's no space. Hallelujah. Hashem, there's a space in between. We can, hallelujah, 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 oh yes, this is so praiseworthy, I'm so excited, I'm so happy, I'm so thankful. Don't, well, I'm just thankful. Es Hashem, there's a space in between. I could feel a little bit of ownership of what happened even without Hashem. Hallelujah doesn't allow us to do that because it's all in the same name. And it gives us that sense of everything, whatever happens, all the good, all the benefits, all the success, all the accomplishment, it's all Hallelujah. It's Ach Verach. It's totally from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, we do Hishtadlus, and yes, we're supposed to do Hishtadlus, and yes, our Hishtadlus is very significant, but it's a Dvar Mitzvah. Ultimately, it's not the Hishtadlus that brings the result. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in order to maintain and to strengthen and to maximize our power and our potential for Bitochim, we certainly need this realization that everything is from Hashem. And we say many times every day in Shacharis, Hallelujah, there's five parokim of Tilim that begin and end with Hallelujah. This Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, again, Hallelujah. There are other times too. And if each time we say it, we focus on the fact, I don't want a space. I don't want any wiggle room between the praise for what happened and between the recognition of who orchestrated it, who made it happen. And therefore, when I scream Hallelujah, I am saying it without any hesitation that it is completely and totally all of that for which I am thankful. It is all a gift from my Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the more we realize that, the more we are inspired and the more strength we find to put our trust in Hashem, to find the strength never to give up hope, because we know he's in control of everything. We know that even if things look al pi teva, or from a human perspective, dismal, it's really irrelevant because he controls everything. And the more we internalize that message, the more we're able to muster the kriches that bitochen. And in the source of that bitochen, we know that we bring about great Yeshuas for ourselves and for Klal Yisrael, and we assure a tremendous amount of menuchas ha-nefesh, peace of mind, in a time and a generation which is so direly in need of